I need you to open your Bibles up with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. It's going to be a little bit, just a little bit, before we get into that passage. Get your sermon notes out. The sermon notes are exclusively based on the Word of God. And so, when we talk about our biblical affirmation, when a man of God gets up and he preaches directly from the Word of God, rightly divided, then we can receive it. We can be like the Berean Christians, and we can be quick to receive it, and then what we'll do is we'll take our own Bible, and we will study, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll see if what that preacher man is saying truly lines up with the Word of God. That's the authority. That's the check and balance for any pastor, any church, any ministry, is that we as Christians full of the Holy Spirit are checking the things that we're hearing from the Word of God. I'm going to tell you right now, right up front, 95% of what you will hear, 95% in the secular media will not make it, will not make it through the grid of Scripture. You pass it through the truth grid of Scripture, and 95% of what you're going to hear on the vast majority of the news sources will not line up with the Word of God. You believe what I'm saying there? Say amen. Amen. So what we got to do is we got to spend less time listening to these talking heads that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't love righteousness. They don't love you. They don't love your family. They may have a cute little story at the end and all that, made in America or whatever. It doesn't matter. They don't love you. They don't love Jesus. The vast majority, 95%, there was a survey done, 95% of those elitists, the elite media, 95% of them were not professing Christians. Did you get that? 95%. So why do we wonder when we slip and we watch that kind of stuff as Christians, why do we, of course we're going to get upset. Of course we're going to disagree. They're coming from a different source. They don't have the same daddy we have. And our daddy is God the Father for everyone that's put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the message this morning is entitled, The Vote for Righteousness. And this will be the hardest message that I will bring as a pastor, particularly right now. But it's going to be part one and part two. So in advance, even those of you that were visiting today for the baptismal service, thank you for being here. You got to be back next Sunday because that's part two of a message you don't want to miss out. The title is A Vote for Righteousness. Every 4 years, I bring a message entitled A Vote for Righteousness. I will confess to you, this time around, I've had to add some things for relevancy's sake to this message that I've been bringing for decades. And you understand, we are living in some of the most tumultuous times, some of the most turbulent times ever. I'm almost 60 years old, and I've never seen anything like what we're going through. If you're up there a little bit older in age, can you relate to what I'm saying? Say amen.
Amen.
This is unprecedented. I understand we had all the stuff that went on and all the unrest during the Vietnam, and we had disagreement, we had all that. I got that. But I don't think I've ever felt in my spirit a deeper sense of conflict between good and evil. Ever. I don't think I've ever seen it, the lines drawn more clearly. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the past, it was kind of blurry. It was a little muddled. You know, you kind of, okay, you got some good and some bad. But now it's like darkness and light. It's pure evil and then righteousness. And the evil that is rising up is viler and more despicably wretched and wicked than I've ever experienced. I'm talking about, Jude describes what we're witnessing today. He said like this. He said, there are those that would come in the last days, and he described them, he said, they're like unreasoning beasts. Now look, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, by the way, Jude did not say that they were beasts. Let me be very clear. One of my favorite fun movies is the one with Macaulay Culkin or whatever, Home Alone. Do you remember that one? And he plays that little clip of the gangster movie, and it goes, "And keep the change, you filthy animals." How many of you heard that? Good, about a third of you, that's so I don't feel isolated. Well, the bottom line is, sometimes, I'm being honest, when I see people burning down our country, pulling down monuments of heroes of yesteryear, killing people, raping people, all this lawlessness, sometimes I feel like, as just an individual, I am not talking about as a pastor, a man of God, or even a Christian. I just feel like quoting that part in the movie. Keep the change, you filthy animals! Is anybody else honest enough to say, I've been there? Well, we learned a couple of weeks ago when I brought a message on spiritual warfare. You ready? This is the tough part for me and for you in spiritual warfare. Our enemies are not people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness. We wrestle against Satan himself. Do you understand? They're just pawns. Why do they do what they do? Because their father, the devil, instructs them to do it. How many of you are in the Lord Jesus Christ? You put your faith in Christ. Raise your hand. Good. Thank you for not being ashamed. It's easy in here. What if you were asked that at the end of a gun? By some psychotically Satan-deranged Antifa or BLM activist, and you're asked, do you believe in Jesus? Would you say, yes, I do? Or would you go, well, no, I'm with you. Listen, we are in a time where God is calling the true church to be the church, where everyone that is truly a Christian will say, I'm tired of being Laodicean, like the church that Jesus talked about in Revelation. I am tired of being lukewarm. You see, that's the problem right now. The church has been Laodicean for decades. And we have let society deteriorate. Now, some of you have already been looking through your notes, and you've been here before, and you're going, Lord, help us, we're going to get out of here at 2 o'clock. And then all of you that are going to the Discovery Membership class, which is a lot of you, you're going, and then we're going to eat together, and then we're going to have an hour class, and man, we're going to get out of here at 5 o'clock. I'm going to do part one today. I'm only covering the first 3 points. Take a deep breath and relax. How many of you were here when I lost track of time about 5 weeks ago? I preached a full hour in 1 minute. Anybody here? Some of you said, yeah, we got calluses on our backside from sitting so long. Today's not going to be that day, I don't think. But I always leave a reservation for the Holy Spirit to move. Amen? All right, thank you. And I love, there's a few of you, you'll say, Pastor, just preach on. Preach on. It's not too long. Okay, but watch. And then, when like 10% of you say that, the other 90% does this. Watch the glare. Don't nag them on. Don't encourage them. All right, let's get into the message today. A vote for righteousness. We've all heard it said, there are two things you don't want to mix. Politics and religion. How many of you have ever heard that? Okay, I've heard it all my life. However, it's precisely this kind of thinking that's gotten us into the political mess we're currently in. As a matter of fact, this nation was founded by a group of God-fearing, deeply religious men who were not afraid to mix their religious values with their political values. Our Constitution and Bill of Rights guarantees us freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. As Christians, we must actively participate in the political process if we hope to see this nation return once again as one nation under God. The following is God's truth about a Christian's responsibility to vote for righteousness. Now, what I'm asking you to do over the next 2 weeks as I cover this message is sincerely, use this as your guide. Don't go back, oh, my family's been Democrats for 4 generations. Don't go back. My family's been Republican going back to Abraham Lincoln. Don't go back. Oh, my family's been independent as long as I can remember. Forget that. Let me declare something to you. Again, how many of you are in Christ? Raise a hand or hands. Okay. You, let me help you out. You and I, we are a part of the Christian party. We are a part of the righteousness party. We are a part of the party that's going to vote for the candidates that will best apply the righteousness found in God's word. Amen. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
So this is important. I need you. You guys, most of you know me, you love me, but we got a lot of guests here today. I'm a lover, not a fighter, but I'm telling you right now, it's time to fight. Anybody familiar with the Black Robe Regiment back in the Revolutionary War period? These were pastors. They were patriots. They were passionate followers of Jesus Christ, and God used these men, these pastors, to help lead in the Revolutionary War to get out from under the tyranny of England. I believe it's a time for pastors, true pastors, not apostate pastors, not the smiley ones that write books that make them tens of millions of dollars. I'm talking about true Christian, God-fearing, Bible-based pastors around the country to take a stand. It's a time for Christians to take a stand. It's a time, you ready? In Ecclesiastes, there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. Now, hear me. I'm just as much a Second Amendment person as the vast majority of you, okay? And I believe in that, and that's there to protect our First Amendment rights. I get that. When I say it's a time for war, I am not talking about, right now, I am not talking about a time to take up arms. Let me be clear. I am talking about a time of war, to take up spiritual weapons of warfare that God's made available to you, to us. If you agree with that, say amen. I'm having you shore me up because it's going to get tough. My toes are going to get stepped on. Your toes are going to get stepped on. And I promise you, this is the opposite of who I am. I don't like it, but God's telling me to do this. And I hope other pastors are listening. And I hope other Christians are listening. God, look at the first point. God expects us to submit. We hate that word, I know. God expects us to submit to the governing authorities unless it contradicts God's authority. In other words, God is for law and order. What are we seeing in our nation right now? Is it law and order or is it something else? It's lawlessness. God expects us to submit to the governing authorities. Look at Romans 13:1 in your notes. It's in the New American Standard Version. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Listen, I can't stand it when I think the speed limit should be 55 and it's 45. The sign says 45. I hate that. But let me tell you, because of Romans 13:1, I go 45. Or now because my tires are bigger and a state trooper pulled me over in a 55 mile an hour zone, my speedometer said 53. He said, I clocked you at 57. I said, I was going 53. I promise you, I'm a man of God. I don't speed. He said, did you change your tires? I said, yeah. He said, are they bigger or smaller? I said, they're a lot bigger. They're the nice mud tires. He said, that's your problem. He gave me a warning. I'm thinking to myself, he pulled me over for 2 miles over the speed limit, and I wasn't even aware. Ignorance is no excuse for the law. We're to obey the governing authorities. We are. We don't like it. But it's ordained by God. To not obey the governing authorities displeases God. Ready? But except. Here's the key. We're not blind sheep. We're not going to be pawns in Hitler's army. You see, the church was like blind sheep. Oh, we got to obey. Here's an authority. Oh, 6 million Jews slaughtered. No, unless it violates God's law. I am so humbled. I don't know, about a year or so ago, the Collin County sheriff, elected sheriff, over 1 million, a county of 1 million. He could go to any church out here. There's all these prestigious Hollywood stars go to it. Look, there's the guy's net worth, 80 million. And, you know, these mega churches, they spend more on their laser light shows on Sunday mornings than we spend an entire year on everything. He could have gone anywhere with his wife, Ellen. But the Spirit of God led this man to our church. Jim and Ellen Skinner, they're members of our church. We pray for them regularly. So I'm thinking part of our submission to governing authorities is what? We are commanded in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for the governing authorities. And we've prayed for Jim and Ellen before, a couple of times corporately. I know many of you, along with me and Angela, you're praying for them, praying for the deputies, the people that work. There's over 600 employees that work under him. Got the, I think, the county jails, just a whole big bunch of people, what, trying to keep law and order. Let me just explain. That's of God. That's ordained by God. You cannot have a society survive without law and order. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but Angela made me aware of this. Two LA sheriff's deputies were ambushed. They were shot without warning or provocation. I don't believe their lives were taken, but I think they're maybe in the hospital recovering. We need, listen, folks, this is a battle between good and evil. Satan, Jesus said in John 8, Satan is the father of lies. Satan is a person with murder, an angelic being that's fallen with murder in his heart. And so he's got pawns all over this country right now with murder in their heart. And I cannot imagine the bravery that it takes for our Collin County Sheriff and his deputies and law enforcement right now around this country to put on their suit up and go to work with all the disrespect and lawlessness. We at our church here, we're on God's side. He's not on our side. We're on his side. We believe in law and order. And it is holy and it is pure. One reason we need to cast a vote for righteousness is we have to submit to the governing authorities unless those governing authorities ask us to do something that clearly contradicts God's word, God's authority. This is so important. I see so much confusion out in social media right now by professing Christians. They just don't know the word of God. I'd like to read just a couple of quotes from yesteryear, founding fathers. One quote I'd like to read to you is from one of my favorite presidents, and didn't live in my lifetime, but the second president of these United States. You all know him? Some of you were around back then? Not really. John Adams. Listen to this. Oh, my word. This man was a profoundly powerful, spirit-filled Christian. Listen to what he wrote. It is the duty of the clergy. Oh, no, he's talking to me. It's the duty, you could say, of pastors. The duty of the clergy to accommodate their discourses to the times, to preach against such sins as are most prevalent, and to recommend such virtues as are most wanted. The word want or wanted back then, today we would translate that needed, most needed. What's John Adams saying, the second president of the United States? He's saying, pastors, fulfill your God-given role, preach messages that are actually relevant to the times. So that's where my heart is. That's what God wants me to do. That's what God wants pastors to do. He doesn't want pastors to tickle your ears. And for too long, the church in America, the Christians that have sat out there and the Christophonies that have sat out there, they've had their ears tickled. They've not been discipled. They've not been challenged. And God wants us to do, I believe, what John Adams was talking about. John Foster Dulles wrote, "Our institutions of freedom will not survive unless they are constantly replenished by the faith that gave them birth." This is what we're talking about, is that this nation was founded as one nation under God. Did y'all notice? Let me ask your permission on something. And by the way, I'm going to do it anyway. Do I have your permission to speak candidly about the two conventions that were just held. Do I? Yes? No? Thank you. So in the Democratic convention, what I noticed was glaringly they removed God. When they did the pledge, did you notice what they left out intentionally? One nation. Did anybody else notice that? You all were like, yeah, we didn't watch it. But anyway, I watched enough to get nauseated and then go throw up. Then I came back and I watched a little more because I wanted to know what Satan was involved in. You think that's harsh, but you gave me permission to be honest. We have a battle going on, and that battle is expressed right now more than any other time between good and evil. Let me be very clear. So give equal time. The Republicans, oh my word. Oh my word. It's insane. You know, there are so many Republicans. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're rhino Republicans, they're career politicians, they're up there enjoying their big fat salaries. Just hear me. Republican, Democrat, Independent. So above the party, what we got to deal with is that we've got to, when we come election day, is it November 3rd, by the way, that coming up soon? Have you gotten registered to vote if you're not registered? Huh? That's one of our deacons. I'm not sure what he said, but it's probably good. All right. Please do not get me started on that. I need to get back to the Word of God. That's all I'm going to do. Okay. God expects us to submit to the governing authorities unless it contradicts God's authority. In other words, God is for law and order. Romans 13:1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Look at Matthew 22:21. Either in your own Bible or here reproduced. They said to him, who said? Okay, Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, what were they always trying to do to Jesus? They were trying to trip him up. They were trying to trap him. They hated Jesus. Their father was the devil, John 8. Jesus said it. And they were always trying to trip him up. So they said, we're going to get him. We're going to ask him a trick question. Is it lawful, Jesus, to pay taxes to Caesar? See what they're trying to do? They're trying to get him in trouble with the Roman government. Jesus said, throw me a coin. They threw him a coin, and he holds it up, and he says, whose image is on the coin? And they yell, pick up the verse, Caesar's. Then look what he says. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, listen to me. Part of submission to the governing authorities is, I know you hate it, I hate it, paying taxes. The government needs taxes to run. So when you go out and you cast your vote on November 3rd, remember this. Submission to the governing authorities includes paying taxes. Now, do you want fat cat rascals that are going to raise your taxes, make bigger government, take away more of your freedoms, bloat, 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 more benefits for them, less for you? Do you want more taxes, higher taxes, more and more? Or do you want lower taxes, more fiscally austere government, financially responsible, you know, the stuff the Bible talks about. But make no mistake, who you vote for, your motivation, part of your motivation has got to be, whoa, if I vote those rascals in that want to basically take money from all of us hardworking evil people, right, then I'm going to have less money to bless God's people with and to advance Christ's kingdom with. I want to pay the least possible taxes, honestly, because I want to give more money to advance the kingdom of Christ. And if I'm bloodied and bruised from paying so much tax, then honestly, believe me, I'm going to tithe regardless. But it's going to affect how much I give as an offering beyond my tithe. There's a practical reason. We got to submit to the governing authorities. That includes praying for them. That includes paying taxes to them. It's critical. Look at the last part of that first point. In other words, if it contradicts God's authority, then we're going to say no to the government. We're going to say no. Okay, look at what Peter said. Peter and John had just healed in the name of Jesus a crippled man in Acts 3, and now in Acts 4, what happens? They're arrested for preaching the gospel. They're arrested, and then the next day, they're brought before the kangaroo court. Annas, the high priest, and all these different ones, and they basically tell them, Peter and John, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Stop. We don't want you to have freedom of speech. Sounds like Gavin Newsom in California. Sounds like the health officials out there. John MacArthur, we don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus. Pastor Rob McCoy, we don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus. Liquor stores are okay to be open. Abortion clinics can be open. Big box stores with thousands of people can be open. But you, the church must shut down. Oh, you can do it online. Well, wait a second. That's not church. You can do a Bible study. You can do this and that. But that ain't church. Church is the gathering. Did you know that? You look at the word for church, ecclesia, it is actually a physical gathering together. That's what Jesus says. That's what John MacArthur's standing on. Pastor Rob McCoy's standing on. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, high priests, what are they saying? Peter and John, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Listen to their response. Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. And then, look at verse, it's not my notes, but verse 20. John said, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they end that part. Oh, it's beautiful. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And what's that name, church? It's Jesus. And we're not going to stop preaching in the name of Jesus at all. We are not going to stop. I'm going to go ahead and start moving towards closing the service out. I looked at the time and I said, boy, I got wound up. So really all we've done is we've introduced the message that by God's grace we'll finish next week, a vote for righteousness. And we've established, I could read to you a long list of quotes, original documents, sources from our founding fathers that talk one after another that this was a Christian nation established for the purpose of providing a place for freedom of speech, a place for freedom of worship, for freedom. And we're seeing all of that. There are very powerful people, pawns of Satan, right now that are fighting as hard as they can to destroy this nation. And what I'm saying to you is, I do believe that this country, this great republic, that was really, if it was founded by God, this great republic is in danger of ceasing to exist. And I believe the key is humbling ourselves before God, as we talked about a few weeks ago, seeking God's face, church, Christian, turning from our wicked ways. In other words, repentance, right? And then what does God promise? He says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear your prayers. And then I'll forgive your sins. And then I'll heal your land. I think the key to this nation remaining, this great republic under God, is returning to God for the church, for true Christians. And that's really the gist of what I'm talking about in this message and next week, A Vote for Righteousness, is I'm calling fellow Christians to be what we're supposed to be and do what we're supposed to do. And I'm pleading with you, come back next week. Please hear. I'm going to just unpackage in a little faster succession, but I'm going to unpackage what God says A Vote for Righteousness looks like. There are things going on right now. If those things that are being proposed by one of the political parties, if those things get in place, they will literally destroy this nation. It will implode from within. There'll be anarchy, there'll be lawlessness, more than we've seen. And everybody that knows me, you know I'm an optimist. So I am optimistic that if we will do it God's way, church, if we will do it God's way, Christian, we can win this battle. We really can. We can through Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord God, thank you for your word. You are so great, so awesome. We acknowledge that without you, Jesus, we can do nothing. We recognize our utter dependence on you. We feel it in our spirit. There is a great divide in our country. There's great spiritual warfare going on. And yet you've told us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge your head of the church, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us boldness. Give us a boldness of a lion and the humility of a sheep, and just to balance those two by your Holy Spirit. I pray right now, if there's anybody here on campus or watching this through Facebook or YouTube, anybody that's hearing my voice today that doesn't know you personally, has never experienced your love and your forgiveness, Lord Jesus, let them hear from you right now, from your word, that you've made a way, the only way. And Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through you. And all we must do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved. We can't be good enough. We can't work our way into heaven. We confess that. But we know it is only through faith and trust in you. You alone. The church can't save us, but you, Jesus Christ, are the only ones. The government can't save us, but you, Jesus Christ, are the only one that can save us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around, whether you're in your car or outside under the covering or foyer, sanctuary, wherever you are, if you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, you don't know for sure that all your sins are forgiven, I'm asking you right now to just simply ask the God of the universe to save you. Ask the God of the universe to forgive you of your sins and to give you eternal life. Do that right now. Don't delay. If you hear his voice, today is the day of salvation. Receive him. If it's your desire to become a true, genuine Christian, a follower of Christ, to have your sins forgiven, to have the promise from God of eternal life, I want you to pray a prayer of faith with me right now. Don't pray it unless you mean it. Pray this prayer between you and God. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that my sin is separating me from you, perfect, holy God. But I also have come to understand that you love me and you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe you rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, victorious over death. And I'm trusting you right now to save me.